It's anything that's repetitive or it's not ad hoc. You can create structure around it,
Yes.
right? Those are good because you as a human can create those guardrails.
Yeah.
But if it's just ad hoc, I want you to do this, this, and this, and there is no human component creating that guardrails or structures, that's where it's risky and that's where I don't trust it.
Welcome to the Binaries Views podcast. I'm Prateek with my co-host Tyler. Today we are going to be discussing how AI impacts data-driven business decision-making processes. And this is very fascinating to me, Tyler, because on a weekly or a monthly basis, all the corporates we band together, we look at metrics and we try to understand what went right, what went wrong, and what are the things that we're going to do next out of that. And in these, I would say, mechanisms that the companies have, they actually define the course of the company in the next 6 to 1 year. And I think AI has a lot of potential in making this mechanism within the company more fruitful and more impactful. And so therefore, like, I have some ideas around like how AI can actually help with this, right? One of the ideas that I'll throw out is that when in these meetings, when I have people coming from all across the organization, people in marketing, finance, operations, they come from their point of view, right? And they care about different KPIs. So I think AI can help customize these reports for these particular individuals and make them more, I would say, impactful in the decisions that they make. But as I see from a corporate standpoint, looking at an entrepreneur like you, you're like the one-man army, right? Mm-hmm. And you need to take care of all the organization and all the aspects of it. How do you foresee an AI being helpful in you making the decisions?
Yeah, so I think I'm coming from two angles, because also I've done, you know, data position consulting my whole career. So I've done it for corporate for so many years, so I kind of have both angles. I've done more data analytics and decision making for corporate than I have for myself. Like, when you're an entrepreneur, you generally don't do that much hardcore data analytics for yourself. You don't have that much data, right? Like, so it's really, now I'm using it more for the different things I'm building, but I'm going to kind of go through this exercise with what I'm seeing or what I've been seeing the last year. Which it really, like, this recent client, I just had a meeting with him last week, and he was kind of going about things, I call it the old school way now, of dashboarding, of showing people data, right? And before, like, so kind of the evolution was, you know, you have reports, you have SSRS reports, which is, here's graphs, perhaps, right?
Yeah.
And then you had data visualization, which is, here's data in a more visual way that makes more sense for the end user. And where a lot of, like, IT people had a hard time doing is, you had to have good understanding of the business and of the problem and of the end use case to be able to create data visualizations, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not just like, I get a program, a report, here's some SQL, here you go. Like, you had to understand and really grasp the problem, right? And that's why, like, a lot of programmers had a hard time getting into data visualization, right? And in data visualization, it was kind of the golden child for the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And now what I'm finding is, where I told him, I was like, man, like, having a dashboard now is old. Like, that's the old way of doing it. Where I was trying to shape his company, because he's a startup. I'm kind of helping him steer his company. I'm like, just giving people data is no longer acceptable. Like, that's not gonna be enough, right? Like, we have to tell people what they should be looking at in their data and why. It's now no longer, here goes a dashboard, go answer your questions. It's now, I want the questions, I want the data, and I want the answers, right? So, like, now it's more of a this is what you should be looking at, here's the data, this is what this means, and this is what you should probably do, right?
I mean,
and
so
that's where AI comes in, is it's telling you, it's no longer, this is the data, this is the dashboard, this is now, this is what you should do with it.
So I see, like, you coming from the standpoint of helping him, mm-hmm. right? And therefore, you'd be suggesting, like, this is how you should look at the data, right? In the corporate, I'm trying to understand, like, usually, let's say a CEO would want their, like, different heads to be able to look at different data. But they may not have time to say, like, who should look at what, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there could be a common understanding of, like, hey, marketing head should be looking at this kind of data and should be answering this kind of questions. Are you envisioning AI to be course correcting for each of these heads and then giving them recommendation on what should they look at, or it should be the other way around?
So what I'm saying is in the product he's making he's making a product to, like, give dashboards to people.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that's no longer a product that's going to be future proof.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
people don't want just data and analytics. They want answers.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I was recommending was, instead of just giving people dashboards to come up with their own answers, you give them answers. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I see it in corporate is the analysts are no longer just building dashboards. They're building AI models and different things to give people answers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the next level, because before it's here goes a dashboard. You can cut and slice the data all you want. Like, that's the buzzword. Like that was the buzzword. Like, you
yeah.
can cut and slice it. You don't got to talk to me. You can go, like, you can figure out all the answers and answer all the questions you want, right? And that's like, oh, dashboards are awesome. But now it's like, I don't want to answer the questions. I want you to give me an answer. And so that's where I think
yeah.
it's going to evolve is no longer here goes a dashboard that can answer your questions. It's going to be, here's your answers before you even think of those answers.
Mm.
This is what you should be looking at, and this is what matters. And
yeah.
so it takes that next step that the executive doesn't even have to think about. And now they have the answers, and then they can use that to make whatever decisions they want. They don't really have to, like, because the AI can come up with answers that you wouldn't even thought of. It can make connections that you wouldn't even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how you use that to make the decision. And now it's like, all right, I'm betting on this being right or not. Like, so it's just another level where I don't think the analyst is going to be the same anymore.
Yeah. I think it's the boundaries between analyst, managers, and, like, even, like, outside consultants are, like, blurring.
Yeah.
And each one of these entities are required to have answers for the domain that they actually are responsible for,
mm-hmm.
right? So I do definitely see AI helping in various aspects of this, though. Like, for example, if I think about just the quality of data that you're giving in, right? I'm a firm believer in the idiom that garbage goes in, garbage comes out,
especially
right?
Especially with AI, yeah.
Especially with AI. So I think AI can help on the back end, data being quality check,
mm-hmm.
making sure what's the quality week over week, month over month, and are we, like, you know, getting some data that should not be there, or the data that's not accurate, and self-removing it
yeah.
from that. So iterating on it automatically is one thing I'm looking at. The other ones is like the recommendations that you were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there could be, AI can give you recommendations, and you may choose one. Let's say I gave you three recommendations and you chose one of them.
Yeah.
AI can self-select, like, okay, this is what Tyler wants, and in the next iteration of the recommendation can work accordingly.
Yeah.
So I see, like, these kind of things, but apart from this, are there anything else that you see?
Yeah, so I'm gonna stick on corporate for a little bit because these ideas are coming up right now.
Yeah.
Because this is also something I'm doing with the project. It's not necessarily... So the human element is not out of it. It's because like he's doing financial analysis, right?
Mm.
And so what we talked about was, like, you have to still put in the parameters and the guidance and the structure behind the AI recommendation for it to be powerful. And what I mean by that is, like, let's say you're looking at the income statement, right?
Mm.
And the AI just looks at all the ratios. It doesn't know what to look at, how to look at it. Like, if this ratio is supposed to be that high, is it not supposed to be that high? Like, it has a general understanding. But as you, as the expert in maybe that industry, you know, like, hey, this is super high compared to, like, you have to bake that information in and kind of tell it, like, give it, like, guidelines, right?
Mm.
And so... giving it guidelines and then telling it, like, this is high, this is low, this is about normal. When this happens and this happens and this is what it means, and like baking that in the system instruction or in the fine tuning, and then it's able to like see those correlations and then come up with it. So it's kind of like a partnership between the AI and the human, where the AI can just give it the data and it can figure some stuff out, but it's way more powerful when you get an expert that knows what to look for and how to look at it and like the caveats and bake that into it. And that's where it becomes super impressive.
So you're saying that the human element has not died down, but it'll be mainly used to set the context on which the AI should actually take an action, right? Because again, like, try to connect the dots here, right? For example, if I just take a KPI, if I'm a new startup and if I'm trying to get more and more customers to my product, right? So customer acquisition cost becomes a big deal. How much am I spending to get the initial customers? Now, although my customer acquisition cost is going to be high in the beginning, it should go down, right? And if I just give those numbers to AI, it'll be hard for it to understand. Like, okay, it's high. All right. But I will be setting the context like, hey, it's a new company, new business. I expect it to be high at this point. Industry average is this. Based on that, give me recommendations.
But to me, it's the same thing as training a human. You get a brand new intern come in. They don't know anything. They can figure out stuff, right? They can Google. They don't know anything. And you have to spend time teaching them what's what, right? And that in AI terms is configuring the system instructions and or fine-tuning the model, and you spend the same time you would teaching somebody to fine-tune or create very detailed system instructions to have it think like you and behave like you. And like we were trying to talk earlier, like a multi-step model where like the model I had where like it does this and then this and then this and it passes that data, each one does something specific. Like that time I took to do that, I can teach someone to do, but then I have to pay that person I teach ongoing, where with AI, it's like you set that system up and it will do it, right? And it would behave like you, act like you, and it'll be smarter than you. But it's that you still have to, as a human, put that time in to train it to do what you want. It can, but it won't be good, right? I'll figure it out. You still have to structure it in a way. So I think everything is just going to shift a little bit. It's not going to be, and it's probably not going to be the managers or executives doing that. It's probably the analysts doing it, where they're now creating system instructions. They're now doing different things, and they're tuning the AI to do what they used to do.
One thing kind of piqued my interest in the answer that you gave, right, was you said, like, tuning being as good as it can get, right? How should a person who's viewing this podcast understand how good a tuning is? Like, where do you draw the line? Or like, what are the factors that lead you to understand whether the model that you're training or somebody training a model for you is good enough for you?
I would say treat it just like a human. It's the same thing. I mean, it's not, but it is. Is that person, did you train that person good enough, right? Like, it's like, he can do the job. Can he learn a little bit more? Yeah, he can learn a little bit more. Can he be a little more efficient? Yeah, he could be. It's the same exact thing. You approach it just like you approach a human. This is good enough, right? Or I want to be a little better. Let me test a couple of more things out. It's the same thing. It's just, how much time do you want to put in that person? Keep training them to get X amount of percent better. So you think of it just like you would think of training a person.
Interesting. I think that's actually, it is so intuitive for me to understand that is because, training somebody is like training a model versus training a person should not be thinking silos.
Yeah.
Right. And as we are learning more and more about these models, the more data you send them, good data.
Yeah.
The better the model becomes. Like, historically, there were like some other ways of modeling where if you give a lot of more data, the incremental value would be very less. And that's why it was not, you know, conducive to do that. But as we are learning with LLMs and GPTs, is that the more data you give in, the more concrete it can become.
Yeah.
And that really like begs me into the next point where if there is a entrepreneur watching this video, right? And they would want to play with LLMs or GPTs. and they are making their first business decision.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I want to hire somebody, or I want to like invest XYZ amount in buying a particular infrastructure. Like, do you think AI can just right off the bat start helping them in taking a decision?
So there's actually a shift of thinking the last few months of the bigger the better.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, that the bigger the better has been it, but you'll notice the trends we were talking about earlier is all the big hitters are making small models, and they're making small models with higher quality data.
Smaller so, or customized?
Smaller.
Smaller.
Yeah. Okay. So like all the Meta, Microsoft, they're all the Microsoft models are under 15 billion parameters,
okay.
Which is super small. They haven't released any big ones, but they're very they're training with super good data, and they're finding that you don't need all the parameters if you have very high quality data.
Mm.
And so
is it like domain specific? Models?
No. It's just okay. Open source regular models, and so they're learning that you don't just throw more compute, like the quality of it is really more important. So it's actually coming back to not being just here goes 150 billion per hour, here like the huge models. They're actually now creating smaller high quality models compared to before, where it's just bigger better. And that's just been a trend the last, 3 to 6 months. And they're finding, like, you're seeing these tests where, like, in models, they're just calling 8 billion parameters, which is smaller than 100, right? So let's just go with that. So the new Llama 3, which is Meta's, is 8 billion parameters. And they tested it against ChatGPT 3.5, which is like the older one. It's the free version of it.
Mm.
And the 8 billion parameter model was performing better than ChatGPT, and it's 100 and something billion, right? Or more. They don't even think we know what it is. And so they're figuring out ways to make them smaller, but as smart. Mm. And it seems like that's the trend of making them just smarter and smaller, which is good for us. Because those models I can run on my desktop and my laptop, and I can just run them open source. So it's actually super beneficial to smaller companies and entrepreneurs, because there's no way you can get the biggest desktop possible. You can't run like the size of ChatGPT on it, but you can run these smaller ones on them. And if these smaller ones can perform just as good on your desktop, and you don't have to pay for anything, then you can create.
It's a one-time investment.
And so like this is super beneficial for us, because it if we just have that small one that can do super very good task, then that's what a business needs.
This season is brought to you by Visual Intelligence, your dedicated team and partner for data strategy, innovation, AI, and data analytics solutions. As a special thanks to our listeners, Visual Intelligence is offering a free exclusive AI tool every season. This season, it's the Google Trends AI Data Analytics Assistant. This tool offers actionable intelligence on market trends and consumers' interests using Google search data. It's our way of helping you leverage AI without the need of a big data team. Use the link below and enter your email in order to get access to the tool. Also, you can visit us at visualintelligence.com if you need any assistance in anything data, AI, or data analytics related.
Yes. I mean, definitely, like, for a startup person, if they can anyway stop the burn rate on a month-to-month basis, this is, like, one way to do it. And secondly, that's pretty interesting to me, because as you touched upon, like, the quality of data, I'm connecting back to, like, my first argument, right, that the data quality can itself be made better by using AI, by looking at what are the outliers, looking at some of the values which are incorrect, and just cleaning the data to make it really ready for business decisions.
Yeah.
Now, I do understand, like, there are some things which are already happening in this area, but I see as it, like, from a corporate standpoint, like, we have a team of PIE engineers who work on cleaning and sifting data, right? I'm just trying to see what is the additional value that AI would bring in. Will it be the cadence of improving the data? Will it be actually doing deep dive in the data and then cleaning it? Or is it just about when you are adding additional data, we can use AI? So I'm trying to see how, with the current BI structure that the company already has, how AI will augment it.
Yeah. AI's strong suit is not numbers, right? So it's the language model. Currently, the large language models is not numbers. So just having it do data task, it can do, but it's not a strong suit, right? So so I don't really find the data, like the data clean, like that part of it being AI's strong suit. It can do some of it, right? But it's not like that's not where the power is, right? It's kind of like having it do something that it can do, but it's not that great at it, right? Because it can like run Python and do different stuff to write code to do it, but it's a language model. So it has to like, so for me, I feel like the most beneficial stuff is around that, right? Like around the language part of it. And I feel like eventually some other stuff will come out that will help with the data. But it's not as core, right? There's kind of two parts of the data. There's having data to fine tune the model, which is to make the model perform how you want it to perform. Yeah. And then there's the data coming out and it's like quality checking, right? Yeah. A lot of people are now using synthetic data that the AI creates to fine tune its own model. So, which I had a thought of doing that as well, which I probably will do, or which I have done, but I'm going to do it some more, is you have the larger models, like the big 70 billion, whatever parameter, they're smart. So the higher the number, the smarter they are, right? Mm. So what I was doing, or what I did, was I had that smarter model create examples to train my dumber model, right? And my dumber model is super fast and can run on my computer. But if I train it with really good data that the smart model made, then I can make my dumb model almost as smart as that model because it's getting data from it and it's training on that data, but I can run it on my computer.
Okay.
Right? So you can do it that way to get good synthetic data to train your model. But if you train your model with bad data, with just bad quality, then your model is going to be bad. So there's that part of it. And then you can also, once the data comes out, you can have another AI like quality check that and then do like a set process. But as far as data analytics, it's and I'm from data analytics, so like that was the first thing I thought of. But being an entrepreneur, I'm like, what is its strengths? Like, what it can do it can write code, but it's not that great at it. The code's always fucked up. You always got to look at it and double check, like there's errors, and then you're scared
double checking,
you know what I mean? And then you're scared because you're like, man, like, is this right? Like, do I, you know, so it's just such a risky, like, I don't think it's the strong suit. I think there's so many better opportunities and things you can do with it than currently analyze your data, unless you create those structures and those guidelines. But you can't just like, here goes my data, analyze it. Like, there has to be a specific, you know what I mean? Structure of quality, like there has to be a very well thought out process.
So you're saying that the data quality, which is related to BIE or business intelligence engineering workflows, AI can do it, but you know, maybe humans are currently better at doing it.
But you have to tell it what to look for.
What to look for, right? Yeah. There's a lot of customization that would be required.
Yeah.
But what I'm understanding you say is that when you look at the outputs that come out of these models and then you fine-tune them using the data, that is more value-add from an AI perspective.
It's anything that's repetitive or it's not ad hoc. You can create structure around
it. Yes.
Right? Those are good because you as a human can create those guardrails.
Yeah.
But if it's just ad hoc, I want you to do this, this, and this, and there is no human component creating that guardrails or structures, that's where it's risky and that's where I don't trust it. So that's why I was like, it has to be a specific task or a specific thing that it's doing that you create those guardrails for and those checks in, and you guided it.
Yeah.
If you don't guide it and just like, here you go, it's it can't, I wouldn't trust it to do it.
So like any business decision that you want out of AI, you need to be aware of like what are the guardrails that you want to put in for the AI to give you that decision.
Yeah. So like the thought process me and the other person had was like, let's get other like CFOs to like kind of create their own AI, like not necessarily their own, but their own process, right? Of like, I look for this, I look for this, I look for this. And then this would be that CFO's like recommendation based off of his own personal thoughts and his own personal way of going about things and doing things. But the AI will be able to replicate what he does manually or what he does, but be able to replicate that and create a solution for it, right? So it's like replicate, it's like copying and cloning a person thought process and thinking and be able to do it instead of just AI coming up with it, right? So that's where I was like, it's a partnership. It's training, like is it the AI, the person, the analyst? Hey, analyst, this is how I think about it. This is how I do it. Mm. Go do this work for me. Same thing.
Mm. Interesting. I think, have you run across any scenarios when you work with your clients where a high judgment call was taken by an AI? Any scenarios that have happened so far?
No. I don't think it won't happen. I don't think it won't be. It's a brainstorming idea. As you think about stuff you haven't thought about, like, but you make the decision, right? I made that point earlier when we were talking of, if it's like super small decision making that just like you have to have a decision quickly. And it's connected to time or money, and it's like, let the AI do it. It's very minute. But having that rapid response rate makes sense for the ROI. Then, all right, do it. But it's like, that's not like a high risk situation, right? But anytime it's a high risk situation or a high, like, impactful thing, AI is good for recommendations. It's good for ideas. It's good for brainstorming. But you as a human, you got to kind of figure out what's best and then make the decision. But it does have you think ways and understand, and like it does change and evolve your thinking, right? And because it kind of like it points out things you'd be like, damn, I didn't think about that. Like, yeah. And then you ask it a question, you'd be like, and then you kind of guide it, you know what I mean? So it's very much a partnership where it kind of throws things at you and you're just like, huh, yeah, I guess so. But then you clean it up, or right, like you kind of like polish it and be like, yeah, if I do this with that, then let's talk about this. And then so without it, I wouldn't have thought of that, right? And so it's a very good brainstorming, idea creating, like back and forth type of thing that everybody should use
to make decisions. Coming back to the data-driven business processes, what I'm understanding is that AI would be able to give you recommendations, but on top of it, you'll be able to have a brainstorming session with them for a particular KPI that you're interested in. And then AI may be able to give you some alternate paths.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you might want to also take a look at this, and there's the reason why.
Yeah.
And that definitely has a more value to the person who is talking to versus just, you know, like coming with an interactive dashboard.
Oh, for sure. Because it makes you think more, right? It makes you... It just be like, huh, like you just didn't think of that. And you're just like, whoa, what? And then you come up with more ideas that you never even came up with. So it's super cool thing where you're just like, man, I would never have thought of that. Right. And then it starts a fire. Then you just like, and so like, I don't think it's going to make a decision. I think it's going to give you an idea, and then you will guide that idea to another place where you and the AI will agree, because you're going to be like, this makes sense, right? And the AI will be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like it's literally a partnership. You guys talk and you come up with it, and you'll be like, because a lot of times when I'm talking to my AI, it agrees a lot what you're saying, and you have to like play devil's advocate. You'll be like, man, I don't think that's right though. Like, what about this? And they are like, you're right. Right. And so you can't just agree with it, because it felt like it's tuned to agree with you.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of like challenge it. And then you'd be like, challenge me. And then you just have these kind of dialogues.
Something that piqued my interest was when you mentioned that a particular decision can be agreeable versus less agreeable, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the model itself, can we currently tune it to be less agreeable and be more, you know, like inquisitive?
Do whatever you want, man. That's the whole thing. It's open source. You can have it do, act, behave, treat it like it's a human. You can make it, mold it however you want, and that human can't say no to you. You can't do it. Like it can. You can have it say it. So it could be like for me, I'm probably unique on my approach of humans of like, I actually really respect when people disagree with me and they don't just like yes me, right? And they just like don't do what I say, like where most people find that offensive and like, but like, I respect you more if you'd be like, no, I don't agree with you. Like this is why, like, where I feel like, in, especially in corporate, that's why I don't get along in corporate, is everyone's just like agreeable, like just like, yeah, and then they go behind your back, fuck, I don't like that guy. Right? Where I'm like, I want you to agree with, like, don't agree with me. Like, even if you agree with me, don't agree with me. Like, challenge me. Like, I like being challenged because that makes me explain myself. And I can't explain myself, and I'm like, damn, you're right. It's not a good idea, right? Because as humans, we tend to talk ourselves into things, and we actually believe them sometimes, right? And sometimes you don't know. And so, like, sometimes I'm like, I challenge people all the time, and some people hate it, some people love it and really respect it. And so, like, as an AI, it's kind of like, it's one of those corporate people where it's just kind of be like, yeah, you're right, Tyler, this is this. I'm like, I ain't right. What do you mean? Like, I don't think so. And he's like, all right, you're right. Like it's just like, it's a very agreeable thing. And so, yeah, you can be like, every time I say something, play the devil's advocate and challenge me and make me, like, explain it to a point where there's no doubt that it's a good idea. And you can have it challenge you like that. And so, and that's the thing with these open source models is you can make them do and behave and act any way you want and emulate anyone you want. And that's where the power of having these little small ones where that can run on any consumer grade hardware that any company can do, that somebody just in a house just with a desktop just plays Fortnite all day, they can do with their computer or desktop. Like, they can train their own models to do what they want. They don't have to go talk to these big players of, like, OpenAI and Meta and all them. They can customize it. Now, the big ones are good for just everyday, everybody, you know, like tasks like that. But, like, for a specific task or use case for a company, which I didn't really think before, probably a few months ago, is it's just better to train your own because you can make it do what you want it to do. Where, like, you saw this morning, I was so frustrated because I was like, man, this damn model's not doing what I say. Like, it doesn't matter how I write the system prompt. Like, it just doesn't do it. Yeah. But if you tune your own model, you can, it will do it. It has to do it. There's no, you know what I mean? So,
these are highly customizable
to
your own needs. Yeah. I mean, I see every business, big or small, would have their own custom needs. And I think they should all, like, start training their own models. Like, there is no getting away around it.
Yeah.
And to think as if general model can be used, I think the competitive edge will be slowly suffer because if you just don't train your own custom model.
No, yeah. I think it's a good proof of concept. See how it goes, but to get high quality, like real production quality, you have to train your own. There's nothing like it because you get it to do and structure and perform just like you need it. Because the hard part is the automation of the AI is you don't have control over it once you hit play, right? Like if it's in production, you hit play, right? And not having the controller hitting play, it's scary. And so when you do your own models, you have the controller, like you know what it's going to do, you know how it's going to do because you train the hell out of it for 30 hours to do it, right? Where it's just like, I got it, like, so like, think back to humans, right? It's like, I got a temp contractor come in and I'm like, do this task. I never talked to this contractor before. I never trained this person, and it's going to do a task, but it's going to do it how it was trained to do it, right? It's going to do it however their employers told them to do it. It'll do it, but it's not going to be how you do it, right? Compared to you hire somebody, you train them for 6 months, you know they're going to do it how you want them to do it because you trained them to do it for the last 6 months, right? And that's kind of how it is. It's opening eye. It's like, all right, I use their API. I got a temp coming in. I tell the dudes, it's going to do the task. It might do it good sometimes. It might not. I don't know. But I have no control over it. Right, where their manager, that wherever they work for before or they work for now, can tell them something different, and then they do something different, and I'm like, why do you do it differently? Like, I didn't tell you to do that. Well, my boss told me to do it, right? Yeah. compared to you have your own employee, you train them, you know, they grew up under you, right? You know everything they do, that is the difference. It's that, like, I know it sounds crazy comparing it to you, but I do. That's how I compare it, because it's the same thing. Like, when you think about it and you step back and you take a, like, oh, AI, like, it's the same thing. You treat it the same way. It's just one doesn't have feelings and the other one does.
Yeah. just last question, right, to wrap up the topic. If there are viewers who are interested in, you know, like, maybe, like, want to see what you have built, right? Mm-hmm. And want to, like, just see how, like, the basic things work, that might just make them help take a decision in AI space. Like, how long does it usually would take you to, you know, build something custom for a client? And, like, how, like, is there a dollar amount attached to it? Just curious to know.
That's horrible. It depends, right? It's such a custom thing. Like the stuff is out there, but how to use it, what to use, what works, what doesn't work, like, it's such an evolving thing where it's just, you kind of have to be in the mix, right? Like the Microsoft models just came out, the 5.3. Mm. They've been out for a few weeks, but the large, like, the 128 token model doesn't work right now. And, like, it's like, it's just, there's, like, bug in it, and everyone, like, that is on Discord is like, man, this shit don't work. And I'm like, we'll give it a few weeks, right? But, I mean, the public thinks it works, right? But, like, we know, like, we're just sitting there, like, we're trying to tune it. It's not working. Something's wrong. Like, you're looking on Reddit. Something's wrong. Like, right? So there's this, like, stuff works, this doesn't work, and you just, everything's moving so quickly. There, it's not public knowledge. It's like, you kind of got to be in it to know. And then there's stuff that, like, they're shiny and looks cool, but when you actually try to do it, it doesn't work, right? So it kind of depends on the use case. And it's an experiment. It's, nothing is foolproof. Everything is changing. Mm-hmm. Everything is evolving. We build something now, we're gonna look at it 2 months now and update it. Like, it's a continually evolving thing. Like, there's no build it and done. Mm-hmm. You build it now, another model come out next month, and they're like, man, this model's twice as fast, twice as smart. We should probably integrate it, right? And so, like, you just constantly have to move and adapt and evolve. But you don't do it, like, everyone else is doing it. And, like, even that, having, like, that having adapt and evolve, you're still saving so much time and doing so much better work. Like, it's worth it, right? It's such a powerful thing.
So even though things are evolving at a week or week basis, you're still recommending to start with it, so that when something more value adding comes to your way, you don't have to start from scratch.
Because you're not going to know what to do, right? Yeah. And that's the thing, is that it's stuff is evolving, but they're evolving from the past stuff that happened. And if you don't know what happened, you haven't learned how to evolve with it, right? So, and it's going to keep evolving. It's not stopping. It's not slowing down. So there is no, like, I'm going to wait until it gets to that point. Because next month, there's going to be another point, right? There's no stopping it. It's going to exponentially grow and change, and everything is going to change. You just have to change fast with it. So whoever thinks they're going to just wait until it's a good stopping point, there is no good stopping point. It will continue, because, like, language models were a huge thing, right? Like, I mean, they're still a huge thing, but now the vision models are coming out. And now, like, we were sitting there brainstorming, like, damn, how can we use these vision models? They can see stuff. Like, what can we do with those, right? And then there's going to be something else. Like, there's always going to be, but if you try to jump in and innovate with everything all at once, you're going to just be too behind, right? And so, like, compared to, like, now, like, all right, I got the language part done. Now I can integrate this vision part and do some stuff here. Or I can integrate this. Like, you're integrating little pieces compared to having this huge hurdle and this huge learning curve that's going to probably take you a year to learn anyway, compared to learning it as you go. And you're benefiting as it goes also, because you're in the very beginning stage. And you're evolving with it, so you have more knowledge than you would have just trying to jump in a year from now, right? But it's such a new thing. It's just gonna be. I mean, it's gonna be the innovative people that are going to prosper. Like those people that are creative and they love this stuff and they're just like, man, like those people are going to jump tremendously. The regular standard business person is going to wait a year or two, the safety, and it's everyone else is going to be like, dude, I already made $10 billion. Like, you know, it's going to be like, it's too late. Like, because they're going to wait for it to be safe and it's never going to be safe.
That's interesting. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Binaries Views podcast. I'm Pratik with my co-host, Tyler. And today we are going to be discussing the impact of AI in making